Hey, Founder Fam, before we dive into another incredible conversation, I want to share something really special with you. Whether you're just joining us or you've been following us since the beginning, you've been a critical part of our community working to change entrepreneurial education. I started Founder almost a decade ago with the mission to provide entrepreneurs access to the world's greatest business leaders. Our goal was to break down barriers to entrepreneurial education, and that's taken us on a journey from Founder Magazine to this podcast and beyond. And today marks the next step in that journey, Founder Plus. I'm proud to introduce you to Founder Plus, which is an all-access pass to each of our online courses and programs and their proven frameworks for success. It puts every strategy we've compiled from world-class instructors at your fingertips while connecting you to a global network of like-minded entrepreneurs. Founder Plus will take your business to the next level for today and tomorrow. So whether you've just joined our family or you've watched us grow from humble beginnings, we're really thrilled to have you join us in this exciting new phase of making the Founder brand and this company the world's best entrepreneurial community to launch and grow your business. So finally, before we get into today's episode, I'm inviting you to come back, check out Founder Plus, and go to founder.com/membership. I'm really excited, guys. This is an incredible new evolution of entrepreneurial education. And our mission is really to get as many of these founders that we interview to teach and also give back on the Founder Plus platform and really go more in depth with the knowledge and the experiences and the lessons learned that they're sharing all in Founder Plus. So guys, please go check it out if you're enjoying these interviews. That's it from me. I hope you enjoy this episode. Now let's jump in.
What you need is thirst. You need to be a thirsty human
who is intent on learning.
It's a really fascinating exploration of human potential.
Now. The Founder Podcast. Even the greatest entrepreneurs had help. If you want to learn from the most successful founders on the planet,
you are in the right place.
Branson, Mark Cuban, Tony Robbins, Tim Ferriss, Ariana Huffington, Seth Godin, Steve Case, Gary Vee, Sophia Amoruso, Barbara Corcoran, Damon John. Learn from the greatest minds in business today with interviews hosted by Nathan Chan. This is not your average entrepreneur podcast. The Founder Podcast.
All right, we're recording now. We've had some fun interviews.
I think I was an asshole to you a few years ago, so I do apologize.
Were you?
I was. It's good to... I think being able to change and notice where we can improve and call it out is powerful.
Yeah. Well, look, we'll do the intro. We can talk about it. It'll be fun. We've had some raw interviews. I think I've only interviewed you once. I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, it must have been like 5 years ago. Long time ago, man. Long time ago. I met you early days in my entrepreneurial journey when you came to Melbourne. We had a good chat about that. But for those who are not familiar with you, your work, or haven't seen you on the internet or any of your products or brands, the first question I ask everyone that comes on is, how did you get your job, aka how did you find yourself doing the work you're doing today?
Yeah. How did I get my job? I got my job because I kept getting fired. Like, I just couldn't get a job, so I had to create my own. And even beyond that, that was my dream. And everyone has that. Everyone has this kind of voice in their head saying about what they really want to be doing, whether it's baking cookies or it's creating content and interviewing people like yourself. For me, it was like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I just don't know how to get there. And so I took jobs and did what I thought I was supposed to do, which I think is how most of us are. And through getting fired and then through just kind of experimenting, I just kept experimenting. I knew I had this dream of entrepreneurship And I noticed as I was doing my side hustles, which I was always doing with day jobs, that I kept promoting and marketing things. I was like, oh, I really like this marketing stuff. I like making things and putting it out there, whether it's on the YouTube channel or this book Million Dollar Weekend. And for me, I had a freedom number. So this is something I recognized. My freedom number, it was $3,000. And I believed if I could get my freedom number, which was, you know, enough for living, enough for food, enough for expenses, then I could quit my job and do what I really want. And I encourage everyone to think about and get their freedom number. So I was able to finally do that with AppSumo. I quit consulting and was making $3,000 a month. And, you know, I went to Europe and that's where now 13 years later, I'm able to run AppSumo. I put out this book, Million Dollar Weekend. I have a YouTube channel. I'd say my job today is to promote cool stuff and have fun while doing it. You know, it's amazing. I can't believe I get to do what I do, make as much as I make doing this stuff. It's awesome. And it's available for everybody else.
Mm. Yeah. You've had a crazy journey, man. Like, you know, we're both like, you've been doing the internet stuff much longer than me. But when I first heard of you was through Pat Flynn's podcast.
Wow.
And a big part of like your kind of persona or identity or what I knew of you back then was you were an early stage Facebook employee. I think you invented the status update, or you didn't invent, you came up with that feature, right? Or you suggested that feature, or you rolled out that feature. And then you were famously fired by Mark. And then you started AppSumo. No, then you worked for Mint. Or Intuit.
Mint.com,
yeah. And then.
Yeah, they got bought for a few hundred billion.
Yeah. And then you eventually launched Sumo, or AppSumo at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been working for some pretty impressive people. I worked directly for Zuckerberg to help it. I was number 4, built Mint.com. And then I tried a lot of businesses along the way. I picked some, you know, the Facebook games industry, payments games industry, and, you know, a lot of other businesses that didn't even make it. And it was finally getting to the point where I was like, okay, well, what's the thread? What's the stuff I really, you know, I think about, what's my thread that has always been a part of all this? And it's just been promoting things. So I was like, what if I could do that? And I love a good deal and I love software. And I was like, let me experiment. And I did it in a weekend to be able to start AppSumo.com, which is crazy because now this year it'll do almost 80 million, which is unbelievable. Because I was like, can I just make 3,000 bucks? And that 3,000 bucks has now turned into millions a year for myself. Which I just find insane.
Yeah, that's awesome. And like, that's the business has gone. Like, I remember you've come in and out of that business, right? Like, tell us what's the latest there. Are you the CEO? I remember I saw you were looking for a CEO at one point, and Eamon was the CEO. Yeah.
I think I was always afraid of facing myself and actually doing things I thought I could do. And I think this is true for all of us. Like, all of us have an idea of something hard in our lives that we want, like being alone, which I have one of my best friends is now single, and he's really hard for him to be alone. And that's hard for me too. And I always thought, like, I can get stuff started, but once I get it started, I get fired. And that's what happened to Facebook. It kind of happened at Mint. And so with AppSumo, I was able to get it going, and it was amazing. Software deals and people liked it, and a lot of people still to this day love it. But I was like, I cannot be CEO. I'm going to ruin this thing, just like my dad did. With his business. And so I hired another person and it was pretty good. It's pretty great. You know, I got this thing going. I think for anyone, it's like, all right, well, what's the problem? How can you get quick validation over? I got this business working and I was able to find someone to run it. And I was like, awesome. And I was making like $2 or $3 million a year, which you should never feel sad for me about. Like, not that you are, but it's just crazy. I was making this money and I just felt so empty. I was just so, pretty depressed across like so many areas of life, like relationship, where I was living, and this work. And I don't know if it's God, I'm not really religious, but the CEO quit while I was biking across America. So this guy I hired quit, and he was phenomenal. But he calls me up and he's like, I quit. I don't want to do this anymore. And I had to come back. So basically flew home the next day and I had to face myself. And I definitely have, you know, made a lot of mistakes as a CEO. And finally, I would say now 3 years later, since being CEO, it's been the best decision. Just facing something hard, which was like, can I actually run this company? Can I be a leader? Can I take initiative and drive this company to help promote products, software products for solopreneurs? It's been tough. Definitely times I thought I was going to quit. I'm like, today's definitely quitting day. This person over here at the company, Sean or Alona or someone else, is better than me. And, you know, you're taking it day by day, every day. And then the next day, you kind of take a break, you go for a walk, and you're like, I can do this. And lately, I just feel very blessed that I get this experience in life. And I do think for anyone out there that wants to be an entrepreneur, I know a lot of your audience is either starting or they're getting going. It's been the best experience ever. Like, being an entrepreneur is the best experience, and everyone should do it. And the idea that I can create jobs and I can honestly create an amazing amount of income for myself, which is a blessing, is just unreal. It's just really an unreal experience that everyone should go through and then decide how they actually want to live or not.
Mm, yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's the highs are high, the lows are low, but it's an incredible experience. And I know you laugh because the lows are low and, you know.
The lows are low and the lows are alone.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares about you. That's the reality in this planet, you know, except our parents. Really, our mom and dad are like, and you know, I think it's finding how do we do hard work on things we want and find pride in ourselves. Mm. And we're proud of things that are hard. And that's something I've really embraced, which is like, what's the hard thing I'm avoiding? Then how do I go into that, right? Whether it's on my YouTube channel or this book was insanely hard, or even running AppSumo. It's not to make an excuse, but it's just like, okay, what are challenging things? And generally those also are the most rewarding.
Yeah, you know what? You made me think like, so you're basically, you're a solo founder, right? When it comes to AppSumo. I remember you had a technical co-founder for sumo.com. I don't even know. Do you still do the software? Do you still do Sumo and the email capture?
Dude, that's a crazy story.
Yeah.
I started AppSumo alone because my two previous co-founders hated me. And everyone thinks the reality in life a lot of times, everyone thinks they're more important than they are.
Mm. Yeah, agreed.
All three of us in my previous startup, I started it and I hired them, but they are like, we're more important than you. And I was like, I just got to do this by myself and see if I can really do it. And so with AppSumo, I did start alone, but Chad Boyda joined me up after about 9 months. Mm. And this is a great story for anyone out there. He became he was a CTO, but really business partner and co-founder. And he worked for free for a year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
For a year, which is just like, and a lot of people, hey, can I have something? Can you do something right away? And the fact that he believed in what we're doing and promoting software and really committed to that. And now he, you know, I won't share his money, but he's doing very well. It's just something I'm noticing where how do people just do a little bit more than everybody else? And then you'll get a little bit more than everybody else.
Mm. But I guess where I was going, it is more lonely, I think, if you're a solo founder. I reckon that's tough. You get to keep all the dividends if you pay one out, but yeah, if you don't have shareholders, but if you're the sole shareholder, I reckon it's tougher in some ways.
I would agree. As you started founder, who did you go to?
When you say, who did I go to?
Didn't you start this by yourself?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So who would you go to when you had problems or uncertainties?
Well, in the early days, so founder grew pretty fast in the first couple of years. So I joined EO. So I had my EO forum. Are you familiar with EO, Entrepreneurs Organization?
Yeah.
So first was my forum, and then just other buddies that have businesses, and then mentors, people I've met along the journey. But even still, you still carry that weight on your shoulders, you know?
Yeah, I think it's adjusted. I would say it's adjusted for me over the years. Mm. Early on, I just wanted to be alone. Not just to be alone. I was like, let me just try to do customer support, marketing, coding, sales, and all these things. And I think it's great for every founder to understand it and realize like, oh, customer support, don't like that. Programming, don't like that.
Yeah.
Sales, don't want to do that. And then eventually I'm like, can I just do the marketing and leadership?
Yeah.
But what I've realized is a few things. One, today at AppSumo, we pay about $1,000 an hour for just elite advisors. That's one of our cheat codes that we do. For every single leader in the team, they have an elite advisor. And you don't have to figure it all out. And I think a lot of companies, especially if you're small, you can't really afford a Google person. One, they may not be very good. And you want to get someone who's hungry and wants to be there, and then just hire a 10,000-hour person. So an hour after this call, I'm meeting with Moody, who's our marketing advisor. So he was CMO of Glassdoor, CMO of Zapier. And so he just basically tells me what to do for marketing. And I disagree with him all the time, and then I end up doing it.
Yeah.
And then we have the CFO of MailChimp for our VP of finance. And then the chief revenue officer from Mindbody Online and Outdoorsy for our head of revenue.
Yeah.
The chief people officer of Duolingo for our people leader.
Yeah.
And so it's just that's one way where if you're starting up, you can't afford them full time, but for 500 an hour, 250 an hour, 1,000 an hour, you're going to get 10,000 hours of value, which is insane. And I think early on, I used to want a mentor and I used to give out some equity for some advisors, but none of them really cared. Mm. And I never really could find a mentor that believed in me or cared in me. It's not to say boo-hoo. I just couldn't find someone that actually was a two-way street.
Mm.
So I tried to find peers that complemented my weaknesses. And I think that's very accessible. And then create a WhatsApp group or create even a quarterly board meeting. And so that was what I did. So Andrew Chen is one of my best friends. He's pretty popular Twitter and VC. Mm. But I'm much more tactical and much more action oriented, and he's much more strategic and theoretical. So I would go to him and he would make a spreadsheet, and that transformed the business, this one spreadsheet he did, like 10x our business.
Mm.
And so it was like, oh, well, when I need that, I'll go to Andrew. Or if I want to do ads, I go to Simon Brand, speeddate.com. And so I was just trying to find these people that were more complimentary in these areas and then just be around them. Like Chad, my business partner, I needed someone technical. And then as we were working together, you don't have to get married. We work together and stuff. We like each other. He's much more, I would say, stable at the time and much more consistent, like just consistency.
Yeah, that's really clever. So you use like just Clarity or Use Intro or one of those tools, right?
I think you can use that. It's also just looking specifically which companies have done the things you want to do and see who exactly did it.
Mm.
And so a lot of times it's going on LinkedIn specifically and then getting a warm intro. I do think you can do the Clarity or Use Intro, but personally, I think just a warm referral via anyone that knows them and almost everyone you can get a connection to. Or if you email them, you know, hey, I want to pay you $1,000 an hour, $500 for an hour of time, almost everyone responds to that, even if it's a no. But you can follow up with them or ask for a referral, which is how we run, you know, pretty much every business. Like you ask for a sale or you get a referral.
Mm.
And that's how we've gotten all these advisors.
Yeah, that's really clever. So tell me about this new book. What compelled you to write it? You got a pretty rocking YouTube channel these days.
Thank you, man.
And it's really just around starting, right? It's like a lot of your content really, really is helping people start a business.
Yeah, the YouTube content, I mean, me and you, I would say, are very similar, I'm assuming. I hate when people say that, and I'm like, you don't know me. Like, I don't know you. I like making content.
Yeah.
Right? Like, my YouTube channel specifically, I've just been making content for 23 years. It's what I like to do. I like attention. I told my girlfriend, I was like, baby, I like attention. I like promoting things. I like getting people excited to take action for themselves. And 3 years ago, a little bit around 3 years ago during COVID, I just started recording myself shirtless in my house. I was living in an 800 square foot house. And I was like, man, this sucks. This COVID thing sucks, but I feel really good about my business stuff. Maybe I can make videos and help others. So just shirtless with my iPhone, started posting videos. And I think that's really a powerful message for anyone out there, not to be shirtless. Like, I mean, my body didn't look super good. But it was just, you can get started right now. Right now you can. Whether you want to start an interview show, whether you want to start like an AppSumo kind of business, whether you want to be a service provider, you can start that right now and you don't need anything else. And that is just phenomenal, amazing. And so the content over time has evolved. It's funny because I run a almost $100 million business like a year.
Mm.
And I try to put out that content, no one watches it. They don't want to know
mass
about
market, man. Except Alex and Mosey's cracked that. Like he talks really sophisticated content, and there's a lot of people that follow him. You know what I mean? He's got
there
big
are
audience.
A lot.
Yeah, but it's hard.
Yeah, I think what's interesting though, I don't know any of his businesses. I've never seen one. The only ones that I've never actually seen any business. I tend to look at the people whose businesses I use and I can purchase.
Mm.
And so from those kind of people, I'm like, wow, you know, at AppSumo.com, we do this amazing, you know, a lot of partners, millions of customers that buy these software tools, especially for solopreneurs. And it's been insane to try to put out that content and no one watch it.
Yeah.
But that's also something we're going to be working on, because it's not no one. It's just the size of the audience isn't as large as making content that's to inspire people for entrepreneurship, which is a lot of what we do. It's to, like, how do we inspire people? We call them the underdogs. So in all businesses, like, who's your customer?
Mm.
And it's to inspire underdogs. And so our content's either, you know, going and asking people how they got rich, or talking to billionaires and asking what they regret and how they got to where they are, so that others like myself and everyone out here can be inspired in our own business journey.
Mm. So what compelled you to write this book, Million Dollar Weekend? Tell us about it.
Man, it was a bike ride about 15 years ago in New York with my buddy Adam. Do you know Adam Gilbert from mybodytutor.com?
No.
You ever interview this guy? I think you'd love him. He was like an accountant. He's my best friend. He's my guardian angel. And he's why I never feel alone. And so we're on a bike ride in New York, and I was just suddenly like, one day I want to write a book, because there's no book I can give to someone that, hey, if you want to start a business, you don't want to spend money, you don't want to spend a lot of time, what's the book you would actually read or tell someone to read? And I was like, I know how to do it. I've done it a bunch of times. I'm still doing it. I'm still running a big company, relatively big company. I think I'm proud of what we've created. And it was time a few years ago where I was like, okay, I've done this enough times. I've helped enough people. I can put that book together. And so it's taken around 3 years, and probably one of the best things I've ever done. Also one of the hardest, for sure. And so, yeah, it's it's interesting because there's so many books out there about business. There's a lot of, you know, I'm sure you've talked to some of them, like YouTube fiction business gurus, as I call them. Like they're fiction writers. They have, it's not nonfiction. They've never actually ran a real business, but they talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting though, if there's so much information out there, how is everyone not getting successful in business? How is that possible if there's so much free Udemy courses or like tweets, tweet threads, or TikToks? And if it, and so it was really diving deep and literally like tens of thousands of people, as well as doing it a lot of times myself, working for Zuckerberg, all these things that came together to help understand like what's holding people really back. And then solving that, it's really only two things. And then giving them the toolkit so that they can actually, once they get the business going, how do they then get it going in a weekend, not spend money, and then scale it beyond that, which I've been able to do multiple times.
Let's unpack that more. So what are the two things that hold people back?
What do you think it is?
From my experience, I'd say being afraid to fail would be one. And what else? Yeah, being afraid to fail and caring what other people think.
Totally. Yeah. And that, those are, that's definitely in the right direction. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
And so what I've observed, and no one's thinking this, by the way, it's not that anyone's afraid. They don't think they're actually afraid. There's other reasons. It's like, well, I don't have money. I don't have a technical co-founder. I don't have time. But if you have a dream of being a millionaire or having even grocery money, you can actually change your life in a weekend, which is amazing. I just did it literally. A guy flew in last week, Jake, and he lived with me. He lived with me. And we spent 48 hours creating a million-dollar business. And it was hard and fun, and it was completed. It didn't make $1 million immediately by the end of 48 hours, but he's on the path to doing that. So the two things that everyone, that helps everyone get to success in business and frankly in life, it's the fear of starting. It's the starting. It's the, I need to listen to another founder interview. Yeah, you do. Get going and listen to it. Most people think, no, the next one's going to teach me the thing I need to know. And so what are ways that I can just get momentum? Like what's the quick things that wins. I can do right now?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we've seen success like with this Jake guy is this mentality of now, not how. So how do you overcome this fear of, he's got three kids, he lives in North Texas, and he said that he's had the same idea around golf, and the video is coming out in a few weeks, but he had this idea about a golf business for 2 years. And in 48 hours, we were able to get five customers and get the business going. And it was really, there's different specific methods I talk about in the book that we support him on, and for anyone who reads $1 Million Weekend, but it was like, let's just get going right now on your phone, via social media, via whatever it is, let's just get going. We don't need to go buy a website. And then the second fear that was fascinating, and it's just been amazing. We have about a 1,500 people beta team around the book. And so they get the book, they go through it. I see where their fears are. I see where they're getting held back with customers and so forth. And the second one is asking. It's how do you ask so that you can get? Because if you don't ask, you don't get. No ask, no get. And there's a few ways that people can improve on starting and continuing and asking. You know, a coffee challenge is what I've been famous for, which I've seen Jake and I've seen this guy, Dieter, people who've read the book and they've read Million Dollar Weekend, they go and next time they get coffee, they ask for 10% off and they get rejected. Mm. And I'm so happy for them. And it's not about getting this discount, but it's about realizing all businesses, whether you're asking, you know, someone to sponsor, founder, whether you're selling a business, whether you're selling a product, service, course, whatever it is, it's asking someone for something. And in exchange, they give you money ideally for what you're doing. Mm. And the more that you can actually practice that in small ways, so doing the coffee challenge, doing other challenges, the ability to get these things is amazing. And the upside is unlimited.
Mm. Yeah, that's really cool. So yeah, definitely on the right path. So I'm curious, you talk about like you got five customers for, I think you said it was Jacob. Was it Jacob? Jacob's business?
Yeah, Jake.
Yeah, Jake. And in the book, you kind of really help people like with all the tactics to kind of change your trajectory and build momentum and get those quick wins. How do you know that it'll be a $1 million business?
Yeah, that's the fun part. So the first part of the book, there's basically three sections of the book. It's like start it, build it, grow it. So before you even get going, like there's enough videos out there about how to grow businesses, whether the person actually has a real business or they have a dropshipping affiliate course, who knows? But once we can get them over these fears, then they can use this process every single weekend to find the business idea that actually works. So let's just start with start it. Now, in terms of build it, there's a few different things. So number one, how big is the market? Do you have a $1 million market? So let's think about golf. Like that is a $1 million, $1 trillion, not trillion, but it's in the billions of dollar market. So specifically what you can do is how many people are in it and how much are they spending? And that's even very complicated. What you really want to see is how many people can I basically find on Google Trends? Let's just use that as one thing. And there's other methods in here, but you want to understand like, is there $1 million worth of people that will spend money on this? And the reality is you're going to work either way. So let's find the market that is. And then the second part of that is looking at your 1 minute business model. And again, this book is focused on 48 hours. So if people want complicated college level books on how to do profit analysis, it's not going to be in this book because it's not what they need. What they need is to understand, is there $1 million customers? And how does their business model actually able to help them get to $1 million or not? And so when Jake came in with his original version of his golf business, running through the 1 minute business model, it was like, this is never going to, you're not going to be able to do this. Maybe in 10 years, you'll get to $1 million. But in this next year, can we actually get to $1 million or maybe in 2 years? And so being able to look at a 1 minute business model around profit, loss, and revenue expenses to get to profit, and then what we need to tweak on his revenue dials, we're able to make some changes. And it seems pretty possible that he's going to be able to do this in the next, depends on how he does, 1 year, 2 year, so forth. I mean, AppSumo took, we did $300,000 our first year and then about $3 million our second year. So, and that's a business that started in a weekend. It was me and one other person in a weekend, a contractor.
Yeah. Look, it's a good headline, dude. It's a good headline. It's a good headline. I had to ask the question because that's what everyone's thinking. Like, how can you build a $1 million business in a weekend? Like, that doesn't make sense. So I had to ask you.
It does. I'm going to do a live version of it coming up. I don't know if I'll get to $1 million in a weekend in legitimate ways and not to...
Not taking advantage
of other things. But I think for someone like Jake, who's got a day job and three kids and he wants to get there, it's how do I set myself up so I can stick with it? You know, one of the things I've talked about in the book is this concept of law of 100. It's why people quit too soon. Everyone quits right before. Like you, I have to give you a lot of respect for sticking with this. How many people have started the podcast that didn't stick with it?
Yeah.
100%. Most, like almost of them, right? And so law of 100 is around how do people stick with things so they can get to the level of success. And for Jake, it's like, okay, we have a business idea. Is there a market that's enough people that will spend money? Does a business model actually help you get there? And now, okay, let's start validating that customers and a few different validation methods will actually pay you money. And now it's just repeating that model, which Jake is able to do this week, since he was able to see that people are excited to give him money. What most people do, if they have an idea for a business, you see this all the time. Like I have an idea for a business. Let's just this golf business. I'm going to get a Shopify site. Great. $20 right there. I need to watch a video or two about ads because I'm going to probably buy some ads and send them to this landing page. And then I need to use AI. So I have to understand some ChatGPT. I'll pay $20 for ChatGPT Pro. And all that could have been found out with a phone call, with a text, maybe even posting on your social media to see if anyone's interested in something. You could post it on a marketplace like Facebook Marketplace. And there's other ways of doing it. So you're finding out as fast and cheap as possible, is this actually a problem people want solved? Whereas most people have solutions and things they've solved and try to find problems.
And most people fall in love with the idea. They fantasize with the idea. That's just from my experience.
I do. But to be clear, I have done that too.
Oh, me too.
I've had so many businesses.
Yeah, me too.
I've had so many businesses. I'm like, this is where I'm going to get really rich.
Yeah.
And it almost never works out that way. It's the things that I did pretty quickly to find out that people wanted it and then just stuck with it. And then you iterate and improve on it over time. Just like these YouTube videos as an example. If you want to be a content creator, post a video today. You want to be a social media person, post a thing today, commit to the law of 100, do it 100 times. And then now, like I'm in a $20,000 studio in my house, but that just started with an iPhone 12 shirtless. And the reality is that's how all businesses are. Most people never get to the million because they're not getting their $1.
Yeah.
And so that's why the weekend is like, let's get you the dollar. Let's post the content, whatever it's content, or if you want to be a service business, whatever it is, let's focus on some of the basics to get going. And then as you get beyond, it's like, all right, you know, AppSumo is very complicated of a business. So how do you do your schedule? How do you do your marketing, which I've done a lot of times? And then we set that up towards the end of the book But that's generally what people get excited about. And so how do we make it fun along the way to get them there? And so it's been an experience to see the psychology of a lot of people, because I do think most people dream of dream jobs. Most people dream of being an entrepreneur or having freedom in how they want to live. And so it's how do we help them get there in a achievable way?
Hmm. You talked about something that I find very interesting around this law of 100. Something I've always often thought about is, or like to ask people is, how do you know when to move on to the next thing? How do you know when to give up? And you said you've started a lot of businesses. If you had followed that law of 100, would you still?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like from your experience, how do you gauge when you're onto a winner, when you're not onto a winner? You know what I mean? Because a lot of it is experience too.
It is. I generally follow the law of none of these are laws, whether most laws are man-made. So there's the laws of gravity. That one I would say is a law. What I find to be true in terms of the law of 100 is just having something to know that you have to stick with it. So just for, I did a podcast and after around 30, 35 episodes, I quit because I was at 30,000 downloads an episode, not 100,000. It wasn't the number I wanted. So I was like, well, this is a failure. And I gave up. I've come back on my show. I've been doing it now for years. But thinking about sustainability, thinking about sticking with something, just knowing that will help you be successful. Now, coming back to your original question, how do you know to even stick with something, right? Like, how do you even choose that? Because what most people do is they dabble. They're like, well, I tried. I put my toe in. It didn't work. It's like, well, you didn't even get in the pool. How do you know you can swim or not? So I like to do it in 48 hours to see if there's going to be some response. So if you... with Jake, in 48 hours, can we get people to buy this thing? So I like 48 hours, 3 customers, if it's an actual business you're trying to get customers on. And if you cannot get 3 paying customers in 48 hours, I would move on to something else because it will only get harder. Now, if you're doing a content business, that can take time, but you can also do something very quickly to see if people respond. People left comments and I got, maybe a few hundred views on my video. I was like, okay, this is kind of working. And so it was easy for me to be able to see, all right, I'm going to keep doing something like that. Well, the way we do it at AppSumo today, because we have at every business, just like yours, it's how do you prioritize? So we do 2 things. One is called test and invest. So people can pretty much do whatever they want, but they have to test it first. So how do they do it? Again, just like Million Dollar Weekend, even at a larger scale, how do you do it super quickly and super cheap? And then if it works, we do double down. So if it works, how do we double down on it, 10x it or whatever that is? So we wanted to test video sponsorships. Just as an example of a bigger, not even bigger, but if you want to do, video, this could even be a business. We sponsored a video and we're like, holy shit, this actually drove really good revenue for AppSumo. And we kind of tested a few more times. Now we have a team of 5 people full time doing video sponsorships.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
And so that's for AppSumo. And with anyone's business, it's how do you test? Do it. Do you like it? Did it get you any comments? Did it get you 3 sales in 48 hours? If it's more of a business you're trying to start that makes money, which I think is where most people need to be mindful of. And then if that's working, great. If not, okay, cool. We have another weekend we can try something else out on. Find the thing that actually works, and then it makes it easier for you to stick with it. Too many times people have like small markets where even if you do great, like let me give you a great market, Christmas lights. I think Christmas lights is a great market. There's just so many houses around the world and they all have Christmas lights, but they don't need them the whole year. So you could just rent them just for a few months and then you store it for them. That's a pretty big market. Like Christmas lights, times the amount of houses, times how much they cost, all these things in the service. So thinking about that, you try it a weekend, works, great. Now we can continually kind of throw that out there for the next year or sort of law of 100 or beyond for people in their businesses.
Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode and learning a ton. As you know, in this series, we interview some of the greatest founders of our generation to find out how they did it. However, if you're thinking of starting your own business, and you want to hear from some incredible stories from everyday people like you or I who are actually in the trenches, only been building their business for maybe 1 year or 2 years, like that are building right now and they're really in the early stages, but they're getting success. You should come and check out our new podcast, From Zero to Founder, hosted by our community manager, Molly Flynn. These are in the trenches stories from our very own successful students that have gone through some of our programs. People just like you who are deep within the process of building their very own successful business. These are the founders of tomorrow. You can find the From Zero to Founder podcast on all platforms. And remember, It's founder without the E. All right, now let's jump in the show. So one thing I was thinking about as you were talking through was $1 million weekend, validating a product idea. Doesn't matter if it's a digital product, a service-based business, physical product, whatever. It doesn't really matter. But you know, like, you know, you talk about Andrew Chen, like he's like big time, you know, Silicon Valley world. But most of like this book and most of your audience, I assume, are probably not tech bros or that Silicon Valley world who are interested in SaaS or two-sided marketplaces and raising money in VC. And what's your whole take of that world? Like you laugh, like, you know what I mean? Like, because some people be watching this going, oh, but don't I need to find investment? Or, you know what I mean? Like that is something that comes up a lot. Like I don't have enough capital or, you know, that's something that always holds people back.
Coming back to the beginning of $1 million weekend and what I've seen be the difference of success from someone being at a zero person, being a millionaire person, is that they started. And what they use is capital as an excuse to actually do the hard part, which is to see if there's really customers. Mm. And that how you get a customer is you ask someone to be your customer. The Cybertruck. Cyber, when's it coming out truck is what it should be called. Right? That was 6 years from when he pre-sold it and validated people wanted it till he actually delivered it. I think the Model 3 was about 10 years. And so from when he announced it, full self-driving, it's been 12 years and I don't think it's out fully, still in beta. This is just one example. And so the reality is how do you see if people actually want something before you go and invest a lot of time or even get investments? So I built AppSumo without investment. I built my previous $1 million company without investment. And so how do you actually do these things? And really it's not about the capital. And coming back on a side comment, you said, well, you know, you guys are maybe tech bros. Like, yeah, I was very fortunate to work for Mark Zuckerberg. I was very fortunate to be able to be around Peter Thiel and be around like literally the elite, you know, not whether the separate of politics, just like elite thinkers in business. And so be able to learn from them and then be able to apply it and kind of teach it to, you know, I live in Texas, to the rest of the world outside of Silicon Valley. And I was talking with Justin Mares, you know, do you know Justin from Kettle and Fire?
Yeah, he and I have gone up and back on email. That guy's a beast. That's a big company, Kettle and Fire.
Dude, yeah, I think it's like $100 million business selling soup.
Yeah.
And I remember asking him because he interned at AppSumo.
Oh, really? There you go. Yeah, he's a smart marketer. Yeah. He hired somebody that used to work for us. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a really great guy. He lives in Austin as well. And I remember asking him, I said, why are you doing soup? You know, like... you're smart. And he's like, dude, I don't want to compete against people like you or smarter. Like in the soup space, I'm competing against like normal people. And, you know, someone like him or someone like Larry Janeski, I just put out a video on the YouTube channel where I believe he's a billionaire, if not beyond. He does over $650 million a year doing plumbing and basements.
Oh, wow.
And he said for him to win most of the time, it's that they show up on time and sober. Now, I'm competing against like Harvard and Stanford, MIT and Caltech competitors. Showing up sober and on time, that's a lot better. And that's just plumbing and basements. And so, you know, one of the businesses I'm most excited about is lawn care and house care because it's universal and it's recurring. You don't do the lawn dies. You don't take care of your pool, it goes out of water and the fam's not happy. And so that's a great, if you want MRR and AR, there's no competition over there. And you could put on, like, send me a text when you come to my house. Otherwise, they just show up and they don't tell me anything. Or let me request things via, like, an app, potentially. And you could validate all those businesses yourself, knocking on a few doors, calling your neighbors, asking at church, wherever that is, and find out very quickly if you can get customers to do that. And I don't think you need a lot of investment to mow lawns. You sell some customers, you can go even rent one. And that the same goes for tech. If that's also what people want to do, which that's been my whole, that's how I've made all my money. So what I do is tech, but it doesn't mean that's exclusive to how people can get successful. And I think through my YouTube channel, especially, I get excited when people are getting rich in weird ways. Like one of my favorite, I'm still trying to interview this guy, the guy that creates urinals, you know, urinals, he creates a little, the scents, the ones you put on them when you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
There's a brand in America called Echoes. And I'm just like, I want to meet the guy that they're doing urinals. There's so many ways of getting rich. It's awesome. And it's available to everyone. And I believe truly that where people are and where they can be is much closer than people realize. Yeah, much closer. And you can get rich doing cookies. You can get rich doing this cap. I'm drinking a coconut water, making caps. You know, and there's just so many interesting ways of getting rich, but it's getting started, getting good at asking people for things, and then following a process, which is what I laid out, to make it available for everyone. And I don't believe you need capital. I don't believe you need a bunch of other co-founders. I don't think you need to use AI. You can do all these things, but I don't think you have to. I think you have to find real customers with real problems. And then from there, yeah, we can build these other things that help support that. But most people just do it the other way.
Yeah, it's so crazy how it's the most obvious thing just to speak to prospective customers or speak to existing customers, but it's something that people just avoid like the plague.
Yeah, I can tell you why. It's because they're afraid. It's easier for them to talk to strangers and get rejected than to their friends and feel embarrassed. When in the reality, your friends are the ones who want to help you the most. They're the ones who want to make you succeed. And one of the best ways to be successful in entrepreneurship is look what assets you already have. Look at what your unfair advantage is. There's a gentleman who works with NBA teams who I met, and he wanted to start a newsletter. He's like, I can do health and fitness. I was like, you're an NBA health coach. Write about the NBA. You can't copy that. Or like on YouTube, no one can copy Nathan talking about Founder. No one can copy Noah talking about AppSumo, because that's just me. And so, you know, thinking about what do I have an access to is which people. Like, I've been in Silicon Valley. So I kind of knew when I started AppSumo, I was like, well, maybe I can cold email or get referrals to people over time, which I was able to do. I was able to work with Tim Ferriss and work with these different people from just being in that environment. And that's available for everyone. Like, who do you know? This guy that Jake that came here recently, he plays a lot of golf. I don't know how to play golf. I just do the driving range and margaritas. But Jake plays a lot of golf with a lot of people. He has an advantage there. Or maybe it's a geographical advantage. Maybe you're in India. Maybe you have something in South America, wherever it is. How do you take advantage of that and compete unfairly in these areas, which is what I encourage people to do? Doesn't mean you can't other ways. It's just going to make people make it a lot harder on themselves.
Yeah. I think, look, in summary, if we like a big part of it is mindset, right? Like if you want to build $1 million business, I truly hand on heart believe 50% of the battle is won if you already just like believe in your mind it's going to be done, because you'll find a way to get there.
Yeah. I fully agree with that. I do think it's having a dream and being a millionaire. I've got to say that being a millionaire is great. I know it sounds kind of crazy. Actually, it doesn't sound that crazy. It's just great. And I never enjoyed it. We were talking about this before the show. But I was like, oh my God, my girlfriend, we're talking. She's like, I don't know if I want to buy this hair care. I was like, just get the hair care product. Don't worry about it. Or we might have to cancel this thing and not get a refund. And that's not exclusive. Like anyone can do well professionally. And you can do it in any way that people are interested in. They just have to find customers that they want. And then, yes, it is about sticking with these things. And importantly, it's about starting and getting the first dollar. That's how you're in, you know, with AppSumo, my first sale was $12. That's it, just $12. And then eventually, yeah, that will compound over time, that will grow over time, but it's about getting going so that you can get to millionaire or beyond, or getting grocery-naire or thousandaire, whatever it is that people have these dreams for, but they do have to get started on it.
You said something really interesting before we started recording, which I'd love for you to talk about, is you said that you're in a really good place now. And for a big part of maybe more so your business journey, you used to tell yourself this story that and many of us do, that when I get here, things will be amazing. And it's quite a freeing feeling to know what you said was that is actually not the case, and you're actually just kind of very comfortable with where you're at. Can you talk us through that? Because I come from a world where it's never enough. It sounds like it's enough for you right now.
It's more than enough. I'm 41, and I would say in my 20s, I was really angry getting fired and embarrassed and ashamed, and I wanted to prove them wrong, and I was really angry and depressed for about most of my 20s. And in my 30s, it started feeling a little better, but I was like, I want to get money. And I got all this money, not a ton, but maybe 10 million, something like that, maybe a little more cash, but I didn't really enjoy it. And then I was like, okay, I'm working all this hard, I'm working more. And I was like, and then eventually you get to this point where you're like, what am I doing all this for? Who am I doing all this for? And I was thinking about, you know, oh, if this happens, I'll find inner peace. You can't find inner peace. It's already there. It's like a six pack. You have a six, you probably actually have a six pack. Everyone has a six pack underneath the body. It's already in the body. You don't have to find the six pack. You just have to be okay exercising and not and exercising and not eating like maybe you are. And so the same thing goes with where I'm at. I will say, one, it's a lot of therapy. Like, I go to a therapist still every month. It is going to different coaches. So as I talked about with the lead advisors, I have a CEO coach, a business coach. So I use Reboot.io. I use Ayman Al-Abdullah for CEO and business. And I think it's taking a zooming out. You know, if everyone zooms out of their life enough, it's pretty amazing. It's probably 99% amazing, and 1% there can be improvements. But I think when we're inside our lives, we're thinking, well, I don't have the house, I don't have this thing, and when I finally get this thing, I'll be a lot happier. And I do believe money buys happiness. That and actually being rich is better. It's just a better life, because then you at least have the option. You can go back to being poor if you want. At least you can go back, right? But at least get there so you can make that decision. And it takes work, but it could be an enjoyable experience. And I have two people, Sylvie and Jay, who helped me do social media, specifically Twitter and LinkedIn. And they wrote a post for me, and it was like, hey, when I get to $1 billion in net worth, I have zero fucking interest in being a billionaire. There's never even been an interest. And then last week we had a board meeting where Andrew Chen and this guy, Raj Atish Mukherjee, he's the GM of Indeed.com and Moody and some others, like, oh, you guys are gonna go faster. And it's very bad. I was like, I want to grow slower.
You actually said that?
Yeah, I was like, I'm trying to grow slow. And they're like, oh, you're going to get beat. You're going to beat. It's like, I'm not in Silicon Valley. What I'm trying to do is, how do I do this for a very long, consistent time? And so there's not a magic answer outside for everyone. It's all inside. And so what I would do for other people that maybe you're feeling unsatisfied is just looking at the different areas of their life and seeing what's dissatisfying about it.
I got a good question. This one come up, I got to ask you, just in the spirit of our getting, like, since we've known each other. Man, I swear, at some stage, you were trying to sell AppSumo, weren't you?
We just sold, I don't know if I can share the amount. We just sold Sumo.com. In 2012 or 13, we tried to sell AppSumo.com to Stack Social. I think they offered us $2 million.
Stack Social, really? They're massive now. I think they were sold too. They were sold too. Yeah, they sold too. Yeah.
Yeah, they went to a private equity company. Yeah. And even now, and look, we can talk. I think it's about looking at the holistic picture. But if you're unhappy with yourself or your work or your relationship, like, it is all related. I really do. It's related. And business is one of the best ways I've learned about myself, probably the best way. And today, someone as well asked me, like, hey, do you want to sell AppSumo if we got offered $500 million? I was like, okay, so $500 million, that's insane, right? We're probably worth a few hundred million in terms of revenue and our growth rates. And I was like, okay, so I sell it, I get $100 million cash, or maybe $200 million cash, whatever it is.
Yep.
What do I do tomorrow? I'm going to go make YouTube videos. I'm going to tweet. I'm going to find things to promote. That's already what I'm doing. Why don't I just stay doing this? I like doing this. And a few things that, you know, so what are tactics or ways that people can get that for themselves, right? I wouldn't say there's a magic trick. I would say, I'll give you two things. One, put things on the calendar you're excited about. Put it on the calendar. Have stuff you're excited to be doing today. What's the thing today I'm excited to be doing? I came home and made sure we were going to change our flights. And I was like, I fucking promised Nathan I'd come chat with him. I want to chat with him. It's going to be fun. Put it on the calendar. This weekend, I'm going to go to a Niners game. It's football. It's American football. So I think, I don't know if you guys call it soccer or football, but I'm super looking forward. I'm taking my father there. I took my parents on a yacht this summer. They've never been on a yacht. I've never really been on a yacht.
That's cool.
And I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And right. But put it on the calendar. And that is something that everyone can do. Put a trip on the calendar, put your business on the calendar, whatever it is that you're looking forward to. So have something to look forward to. I'd say the other thing that's been a dramatic shift is just noticing how mean I am to myself. Mm. We're all like the worst friends to ourselves. You know, like, I know you've had some stuff you've gone through, and I think it's amazing how rude we are. Like, if we ever recorded our inner thoughts out loud and played it, we'd be like, who said that to you? Like, I would fire that friend. And I've really actively worked on just when there's negative self-talk, which I still have insecurities. As I'm talking to you about this book, holy shit, do I know this stuff? Even this whole book thing, initially I was like, oh my God, do I know how to start a business even? Do I know anything about business? And you notice the self-talk, and, you know, one, you can just take a step out and say, hey, can I be kind to myself in this moment? Can I be generous to myself in this moment? And the more you start doing it when this negative talk comes through, just start being a lot more positive about life and optimistic that things can get better and we can make things better. And that's made all the difference. And secondly, with Million Dollar Weekend specifically, taking that as an example, instead of being kind with myself, go do it, go practice it. So I've gone and helped other people now. And I see every day people who are reading this book are like, yo, it worked. And I'm like, okay, I'm feeling good about myself. Not that I need them to validate me, but if I'm feeling insecure, let me go practice. Let me go do something. Let me get busy. And that is a way of also feeling good about yourself. Not, you know, with YouTube or in some of these things, it's when we externalize it and, oh, if this video gets this many views, and some of our videos get a million and some of our videos, like one of my favorite, someone asked me my favorite video. It's a fishing video I put out. No one watched it. But it's like my favorite video because we just featured this fisherman who makes $1 million.
Mm.
I thought it was so cool. I just am so, and so coming back on these things, and this is something I still go to therapy about. Like I'm jealous maybe of her mosey sometimes. Straight up, that's not something I really admit publicly. But I come back on that. It's like, well, do I have everything I need? Do I have everything that is for me? Like I can't control him or how others feel, but I can control what I put out. I control how I am myself. And so doing more of that has led to feeling more grounded of, I like what my priorities are. You know, it's my girlfriend, it's AppSumo, it's YouTube, this book. And like, that's where I've spent my time. And so, yeah, those are different areas where I'm so lucky to be able to find this at 41 and 61 and also be able to have money and resources and be able to be a time millionaire where I can choose my time at 41 than at 61. And that's accessible. It's not some exclusive ability. It's just I start and you can see me start on YouTube. You see the things I put out. And I ask, and then I keep doing it for lately. I'm really proud of just longevity and sticking with these things.
Mm. Yeah, no, you're doing an amazing job, man. So, dude, we just moved to the hot seat round and we'll wrap because we're on time. So, got a couple of rapid fire questions for you.
Yeah.
What's been the holy shit moment in your business?
Like good or bad? Like holy shit, awesome or holy shit, I'm ruining this whole thing?
Either or.
Oh, okay. Let me give you some of the things that others can copy in their own business. Holy shit, we ran a giveaway. We did Dropbox for Life. And that was like 250,000 email signups in 24 hours. And it was like, holy fuck, we're creating something big. And everyone can be testing out giveaways. We have kingsumo.com. That was the software we built. We used for it and built it. Other holy shit moments. Deposit photos and doing daily deals. We were doing bundles. And so in the book and AppSumo, we do a thing called a 1-minute business model. So AppSumo used to be bundled software and then we went to individual deals with ads. And that's what 10X the business. And so in everyone's business, really looking at what's the thing that's actually working. And let me understand maybe the economics of it a bit. And can I adjust that with some revenue dials? And by doing that, we're able to then scale up the business dramatically. I would say an oh shit, I'm fucking ruining this company moment was when I didn't test and invest and I doubled down, which is AppSumo values that I did not listen to. We opened up our marketplace from 600 products to 13,000. And I didn't talk to customers, which I do now every month. I use tidycal.com. It's one of our products. And the customers were livid. The team's like, no, this is a stupid idea. And I was like, trust me, I know. I know these things. I've been around the internet. I know what I'm doing. And it took a year to finally unplug that. And then another year to finally get it back to where it was. And now finally we're growing again as a business. So that was an interesting, holy shit, like I'm ruining this moment, but also great learning opportunity that I hope to avoid in the future. And then I'd say lastly, holy shit, it's like doubling down. We found that our affiliates and specifically like video sponsorships of prefluencers, that's the group I really like. Prefluencers are super small people, audience size wise, that have high engagement and just sponsor them. That's what I did. That's like one of my secret marketing things I do every company. I've done it at Mint. We did it in my other companies. I've done it at AppSumo. I've done it at sumo.com, TidyCal. We just go find super small prefluencers. And I'm doing $1 million weekend. Who's like the up and comers? And how do I get involved with them? And then we found sponsoring. And now I think it did $2 million for our Black Friday November month was just through around these video ambassadors and affiliates. So look for the thing that's actually working in your business and then see, can you really 10X it? And most people do like half X. And if you can find something that works, can you 10X it? And those are definitely some of the different holy shit moments. I would say last one, by the way, I was in Mexico. I was telling you before the show on the, I just can't believe where AppSumo is where it is. And that's all, it was just me alone, you know, and I started in a basement in San Francisco without any money. And it's cool that it's available. If people want to create a big company or bigger company or whatever, just finding what they actually want to do and getting going. And it was really special to be around so many people looking around. We had the team retreat in Mexico this weekend, and just seeing everyone and being like, wow, what a cool life and what cool people I get to work with on promoting products at AppSumo.
Oh, awesome.
So that was holy shit.
Thanks for sharing. Where should founders be investing their time and money?
A few things. I would say if they're just getting started, start a business. Like, there's no more books. Like, everyone says, like, the best investment is a book or yourself. That's not true. The best investment is get going. Right now, not how. Just get going and starting that business. Put out the video, ask a customer, post it on a marketplace. There's a few other validation methods, but just starting is the most important thing. I'd say two other things out there is, how are you being in industries or geographies around really interesting people? So I've been lucky, I would say, but also, you know, I'm skilled in being around industries and people where I was in YouTube, so I know all these YouTubers are super interesting. I was in Silicon Valley, so I can call a lot of people across totally different companies. My PayPal account gets blocked, call the VP of PayPal and gets unblocked pretty quickly, same day. And so how are you putting yourself or doing things, either working for someone or starting someone in an industry that's interesting? And there's so many. Content creation, a few years ago was e-commerce, it was crypto for a minute, maybe crypto comes back. So just be in it and you'll be benefiting by that. And then lastly, I would say everyone should put themselves out there. The fact, and not even just for money, and I think you know this very well, I'm going to assume, and I definitely believe this, just being public and being out there online, the fact that we get to meet all these amazing people is so cool. It's so, so amazing and available to everyone. Again, it's available to everyone, where you are, where you're going to be, closer than you think. And it's powerful to realize that just being out there, that it just provides so many opportunities down the road that don't immediately give you money. But one, I enjoy it. I enjoy being out there. But two, just all these things that come from that are very, very high ROI and just high enjoyment.
Mm. Love it. What daily habit makes you a better founder?
I would say two. One of them, I have it here. I use a 3x5 card, and I just write down the things I have to do each day. And otherwise, you kind of just, yeah, this works for me. Everyone's got their own organization list. I think the big thing is just having something very specific. Like, where are you going? Most entrepreneurs, you ask them what their revenue goal is or goal for the year, they're like, oh, yeah, I want to be bigger. How big? We're trying to grow 7% by the end of the year. Great. Be clear. And then you can work backwards. Okay, what's the one thing I can do today, or two things, or three? I like three in a day. Sometimes you got five. You got to take care of the girlfriend that I have to do today. One of them is talk to Nathan. I'm going to check that off after this. It makes me feel good about myself. So be very focused on what's the 3x5 that I can actually put just for today that I'm going to be doing. And then this is the other, I would say, breakthrough for me, besides coaches. And I've talked to you about some of those coaches that I've hired. Review yourself each week as a founder. And this has been transformative for me. One, you can get feedback from your team, which I do. I love it. We do a thing called T3B3. This is not daily, but you can ask for feedback from your team. But the thing you can do weekly without anyone else is review yourself. And I basically ask myself three questions. I only ask three. How did I do this week as a founder? This is what I ask. And I say 1 through 5. Why? And then I write. And I was like, well, I was an asshole in that meeting. This is where I did a great job. And I just review myself. Number two is, was my behavior consistent? And as a founder and leader, really, I think it's very bad if it's hard to know what to expect when you work with someone. If Nathan's like happy today and sad tomorrow, doesn't mean we can't have emotions, but how are we showing up in our meetings and with our teams? And so 2 weeks ago, I was yelling at someone, and I was like, okay, this is not a good week. It was a 3, right? That's not good. And it gives me a chance to improve. And only by monitoring that can I improve it. And then the last question is, what are the 3 things I'm doing next week? Tell me 3 things. And then that leads to a bunch of other stuff. But that alone, you just do it each week, and each week just get a little better. And I found that to be a huge upgrade for my founder and leadership skills. That's where there's no money in this stuff, but just habits that I do every week.
Yeah, look, you sound pretty disciplined, man. Like, it's impressive. All right, last question. If you could have dinner with any entrepreneur, dead or alive, who would it be and why? Oh, and also, what are you excited for next?
Yeah. An entrepreneur would be my dad. He's dead. But I would like to talk with him more at this stage because I feel more mature. And I think I was interacting with him when I was much younger, and he started his own businesses. And it would have just been interesting if he was healthy. He you know, self-sabotaged in many ways. He'd definitely be someone to talk to. I would say more globally, Jeff Bezos. I don't know anyone by themselves who's done what he's done to so many different facets and with I think with just a great attitude and a great thinking mindset, I think there's just a lot of other entrepreneurs out there where either A, I don't admire their lifestyle, because I don't want to be rich and poor. I don't want to be rich and alone, or I don't want to be rich and working all the time. That's not the life I want to live. I don't want to aspire to just have a bunch of money because I've worked all my life. And I think Bezos seems to be really innovative and just kind of trying things, and he's willing to fail. And he just has a unique approaches on like thinking about the customer and trying all these different business units. And a lot of what we've done at AppSumo has mirrored him, right? We built a marketplace for software, and now we have AppSumo Originals, just like Amazon, right? We have our Originals products, which are entry-level products for solopreneurs, like TidyCow. And then we have AppSumo Plus, which is a membership community that has things just like Amazon Prime. I mean, I don't know if he copied who. He copied me, I'm not saying. But just think it's like, I think it's interesting to ask yourself as you're maybe running your business, like if he was running our business or she was running our business, how would they behave? Doesn't necessarily have to do it, but you can think about what they would do. What am I looking forward to? So by the time this episode comes out, number one, I'm looking forward to being a dad. I'm like so excited. I was scared as shit when I found out. I was very surprised. We were planning it, but I was like, holy shit, it's going to actually happen. I think that's kind of a wild thing in life. Like, we don't think we're allowed to have things. Like, I grew up middle class, and I was like, I don't think I'm allowed to be rich, or I'm allowed to have a wife. I'm allowed to have a baby. And you realize it's most of the things holding us back are ourselves, and it's these things that we avoid. We're like, oh, well, it's not possible. And it's like, no, it is possible. So that's number one, 100%. I would say this book, I mean, I've straight up Million Dollar Weekend. I want to see what kind of impact it has. We have a lot of momentum, a lot of people reading it, a lot of results. And so it's curious, you know, most things in life, especially in business, if it's good, it's because they're talked about. Like, you ever been to a restaurant because your friend, like, yeah, it wasn't really good. No, you go because your friends say this movie's good, this food is good, whatever that is. And I'm looking to see that dent. And that's really that on those two levels. I think those are pretty big. And this week, I can go see some football game and take my stepdad. I think that's going to be a nice experience for him. So yeah, those are things I'm putting in the cow.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, man. Well, dude, this has been an awesome interview. Really appreciate your openness, honesty, vulnerability. Thanks, and all that you do to help serve entrepreneurs. So, oof. And founders. So
it's been fun. It's good to see people. Yeah, it's good to see people be inspired and take action for themselves. Most people just don't find the thing they enjoy, which it's available. You find something you enjoy and then just keep doing it. You don't have to even do it a lot. Just keep doing it for a long period of time, and people, I think, will be surprised by the outcomes.
Hey, guys. I hope you enjoyed this interview. As you might already know, our mission at Founder is to help tens of millions of people every single week with our content either start or grow their business, which is exactly why we're partnering with world-class founders such as Damon John, Alexa Von Tobel, Greta Van Riel, and so many more to teach crucial skills such as negotiation, finance, e-commerce, and so much more. So if you'd like to get access to these free exclusive trainings, please go to founder.com/free. These are 100%. We go super in depth on teaching a particular topic, and I know that you're going to love them if you enjoy this podcast. So just go to founder.com/free. All right, guys, I'll see you in the next episode.